Your love is rain, my heart, the flower. I need your love, or I will die. My very light is in your power. Will I wither and fade or blossom to the sky? Agua de Babel, give the flower water to drink.
B.J. Thomas's career took off with his 1968 hit Hooked on a Feeling, and again in 1970 with Raindrops Are Falling on My Head. During his 40-plus years in the music industry, he has won 5 Grammy Awards, had 11 gold records, with 2 gold going platinum. For his most recent album, Once I Loved, he's collaborated with South American musicians to remake 11 classic Brazilian songs. It is my pleasure to welcome B.J. Thomas to our show. Hello.
Thank you. Hello. How are you? Thanks for having me.
It's been about 10 years since you last recorded a studio album. What have you been doing in the interim?
Well, you know, I still do a lot of one-nighters, somewhere between 80 and 100 dates a year. So I still travel a lot. I go down, of course, that's the reason we made the Brazilian album. I go down to South America every now and then and in Australia and what have you. But I'm still on the road working a lot. And actually, that's how the Brazilian thing came up, was Alan Swartzberg, Bob Mann are guys that played on my records over the years, and we were just trying to come up with some kind of reason to get in the studio, and then we started talking about Brazil, and that's how that came about.
And the songs that you've recorded here are not necessarily the ones that Americans will recognize, but are these songs that Brazilians would know well?
Yes, these are like the top classics from Brazil, and I think a lot of folks here will recognize Meditation and Quiet Nights and some of the songs that are kind of in the back of your memory there somewhere.
And on a couple of the songs, you're accompanied by Brazilian artists like Ivete Sangalo and Leila Pinheiro. Big stars in Brazil.
Yeah, Ivete is there.
Oh, it's Ivete?
My
Ivete Portuguese Sangalo. Is so bad.
Well, mine too. It's really a difficult language, and I've tried my best to learn it, but it's very difficult. Ivete is like their Madonna, and Ivan Lins and João Bosco, they're legendary. Leila, they're all legendary entertainers down there and writers, singers.
Do you sing any sports?
Just very
Portuguese
little.
In this
I did phonetically do a couple of lines on the album, and I had a lot of Portuguese phrases together when I go down there, but I can't ever think fast enough to use them, you know what I mean? So, but I love it. It's the most beautiful language when it's sung. It's even if you will, more beautiful than French. It's just something about that Portuguese language and the way they get it across. It's really great in music,
and it's so romantic. The songs in this album are the sort of thing that we might play during a romantic dinner.
Absolutely, this is music for people who are in love or want to be in love or want to think about love or whatever. It's just it's a very romantic album.
Wasn't the album released in Brazil before it was?
Yes, it was. It was released down there, and actually, that was the only area that we recorded it for. But of course, it was just only natural then to start putting it on our marketing space, bjthomas.com, and we're with Brickhouse Marketing, so we're trying to make it available here too.
But you used American studio musicians, not
I did. Yeah, I used Alan Swartzberg is a percussionist, drummer. Bob Mann is a legendary guitar player, piano player, and has played with James Taylor and just lots of people over the decades. And they're not that old, but I don't want to make them sound that old. But they played on some of my records, and Rod Stewart and just everybody. And we just put them together, and they could play this music as well as really the Brazilians, I think.
Well, Stan Getz did rather well with this music, and a lot of other American musicians. It's a music that seems to appeal especially to jazz musicians.
Yeah, it's there's just something about it rhythmically that there's a truism there that connects with almost everyone. So it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Really.
The name of the album in Portuguese is O Amor em Paz. Is that the same thing as the English Once I Loved?
Yes, yes.
What does Once I Loved mean?
Well, I think, the songs are basically love songs. Carlos Jobim wrote a few of them, and, he was just probably the greatest love songwriter of all time. And they're just about being in love and that whole experience, you know.
My guest is B.J. Thomas. His new CD, Once I Loved, subtitled B.J. Thomas in Brazil, accompanied by four Brazilian singers of note. And this is WNYC, WNYC.org. Can we talk a bit about the past?
You bet. Yeah, I'd love to.
Your 1970 hit Raindrops Are Falling on My Head was composed by Burt Bacharach and Hal David, right?
Mm-hmm. The lyrics were written by Hal David. Just, you know, the greatest writing team, maybe got to be up there with the top three or four writing teams of all time.
But was it released before Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid?
It was. I recorded it for the soundtrack. And we re-recorded it a few weeks later as the single version that became a number one record and was a record of the year. I recorded it to the soundtrack, was written for, especially for the movie. And of course, their main artist, mainstay was Dionne Warwick, but this song just wasn't a Dionne Warwick song. And we were the same label, Scepter Records, and we'd been trying to get them to do something with me for all the time. I've been with Scepter about 3 years, and you know, it came about just luckily.
I've heard that it was also offered to Bob Dylan and Chet Atkins. No?
Yeah, well, actually, they went to Nashville and Burt did and played the song for Ray Stevens. He had some kind of conflict with the. Of course, I'm always razzing him about it and thanking him and telling him he really made a mistake. He had a Christopherson song that was. Something he was counting on at that time, and they actually turned it down. And I don't think they really actually understood the song, or I don't know how they could have ever turned it down. But
but we've had this kind of story with movie roles throughout history. Somebody turned it down. Humphrey Bogart got the part, and now we can't imagine anybody but Humphrey Bogart in that role.
I just I think possibly they just didn't connect with Burt's. Personality, or there was something there, because it just seems to me like it would have to be a mistake to turn down a Burt Bacharach song in a Paul Newman movie. So I don't know what their thinking was. He tried to explain it to me, but I'm always laughing at him about it.
Although I've always wondered why it was used in that film, there didn't seem to be all that much of a connection. And I don't remember all that many raindrops falling on Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Well, you know, I think that was the one thing I've had many discussions with Hal David about the lyrics. And they wanted him to write a silly, frivolous song. And I think really what it turned out to be was actually a very deep, even spiritual song, if you will, and certainly something there that's valid in almost all our lives, and especially as an outlaw running from the trying to be free. Is, you know, the rain falls on everyone, but there's no need in complaining, because at least for that moment, Butch Cassidy was free, you know. So we can all make that real in our lives, you know.
Where does your accent come from? I know you started in Houston.
I'm Texas. I'm from Houston, Texas. Although I lived in the city for 5 years back in the Raindrops days.
So. Yeah, I was wondering about that, because you began your career with a group from Houston called the Triumphs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how successful they were, but
we were just a garage band. We had a few local hit records. You know, I was kind of back in the time early 60s when they would play your records sometimes, even if they weren't very good. And actually, I had a number one record there on a song called I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry. And a friend of mine, Steve Tyrell, was a promotion man, had just gotten the job. He was a Houston boy, too, had just gotten a job with Scepter Records.
Now he's
Now he's a singer, yeah. And still produces records, and we've been lifelong friends. And he got Scepter to sign me, and that's how I got with Scepter. And I was recording in Memphis at the time when I did The Eyes of a New York Woman and Hooked on a Feeling, and the Bacharach situation came, so we moved. They wanted me to relocate and live in New York, and so I did, and worked with Burt for a few years.
You've been in the industry for 40 years, and it's changed an awful lot over the years. Are you concerned by the way that people access music today?
Well, no. I mean, I think that's the one thing about music and media in general is you know, there's always something new, and there's always a different way to do things. So I'm not really concerned about it. I think it certainly makes it easier for You know, I mean, if you wanted to have a record, you'd just sit down in your bedroom and record it with you and a guitar and put it online. So it makes it a lot easier for anyone to get into the business.
But it makes it harder for people to get money for what they do.
Certainly, yeah, it certainly does. And that's the one thing, you know, the musicians and songwriters, we get paid pennies at a time. So when we start losing these pennies here and there, it hurts. So it's had an effect on the writers because their pay comes with just a little at a time and has to add up over time. So it's hurt some.
Well, there are a lot of people out there who are still nostalgic for the past. Elvis Costello feels that 78s are still setting the audio standards. I wonder whether you miss the old days when records were released on LPs.
Well, you know, I don't necessarily miss the old days, but I do miss that LP experience. You know, when you go out and get the big album cover picture, and you had the vinyl. Of course, I'm not sure. Even recording now, we're doing it with software and not with the analog anymore. I always thought the analog tape had a much richer sound to the music, even though it would wear down over time. So, you know, you give up something, but now we've got something. You make a CD now and it lasts forever.
What about the price that people have pay for being in this business? So many people have been destroyed by it. I knew Janis Joplin and met any number of other people who destroyed their lives.
Absolutely. And then the all-time example, I guess, you know, along with Janis would be Elvis. And
Jim Morrison,
if you have
Jimi Hendrix.
Yes. If you have the problem, addiction problem or certain problems, I think having to present yourself in a spotlight in front of a large group of people and bare your soul, so to speak, and lay your heart on the line, I think that will bring these things out, and they have to be dealt with. I mean, I certainly had my problems with addiction and alcohol, and I've had my ups and downs in that personal sense. But I have to say I'm one of the lucky ones. I dealt with it. I got through it, and that was open to everyone. You know, you can't be on stage all the time. It's like when I'm off stage, I'm done with the scarves and the hairspray and stuff or whatever you might do to be on stage. Whereas a lot of times Janis and Elvis and Jimmy, they were on stage all the time. They had to be look stage worthy all the time. And I think that hurts in the long run.
I wonder about what's happening to Lady Gaga emotionally right now.
Yeah, well, I wonder. That's going to be an interesting book in about 15, 20 years, I bet.
You'll be performing at the City Winery this on Friday the 26th at 8 o'clock, the City Winery right near us here on Varick Street. And I'm assuming that you'll be singing some of the old songs. We're going to go out with Hooked on a Feeling. Do you want to can you tell us anything about that? That was your first major hit?
No, my first million seller was I'm So Lonesome I Could Cry in 66. And then I had another couple of hits, but Hooked on a Feeling probably was my biggest record after that, right before, and probably was instrumental in getting me Raindrops. I was recording Memphis, Tennessee with Chips Moman and the American Studio Group, and they were cutting, you know, they had about 20% of the pop chart at that time, and they were making a lot of hit records. My buddy Mark James was a songwriter. He called me to come in, and he said, you know, we could cut some hits, and so that's when I cut Hooked on a Feeling.
Once the new CD is called Once I Loved, O Amor em Paz, which is mostly songs from Brazil. Mostly or all songs from Brazil?
I think they're all from Brazil. There's possibly one that was interpreted or translated.
Well, there's one song called Rock and Roll Lullaby.
Oh, right. Oh, absolutely. How could I forget that? Well, Rock and Roll Lullaby, it probably is a song, although I had big records on Hooked and Raindrops and these songs in Brazil. Rock and Roll Lullaby, I guess we put that out in 71 or 72, became the theme song for their longest running novella, their soap opera. And so that's kind of what has me in their consciousness, so to speak. So that's why we recut it in a bossa nova feel for this album.
Well, a lot of them are songs that would be best known in Brazil, but there's the Girl from Ipanema here and Quiet Nights.
Yeah, there's some of the songs that are in your consciousness somewhere, you know, so they'll be familiar to you when you hear them.
I want to thank you so much for being with us, BJ Thomas.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate talking to you. Thanks. When you're